Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy. Today, I have a great guest on. She's an author, and we're going to talk with her, and she's going to tell us all about herself and the book that she has written. So her name is Dr. Ramona Rubino. So welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
Great. Now, Dr. Ramona, can I call you Dr. Ramona?
Absolutely. No,
okay.
That's great.
Great. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and what prompted you to write your book?
I'd love to. Not that I enjoy talking about myself. Well, let's see. I am a voyager in life that has taken many twists and turns. I'm what I refer to a medial woman. That means a woman who is a mature person that has had lots of experiences, challenges, ups, downs, pulls, pushes in life, and still wearing a smile on my face because I realize that in all of this, there is a common journey that we all take, and for me, it's my alchemical journey, which is so much embedded in the book that I co-authored, which is The Alchemical Woman, a handbook for everyday soul work. And part of the reason that I even got to this point to want to write a book like this was the journey that I was on was a journey of self-discovery, which I'm sure so many of your listeners are saying, yes, I can connect with that, and not always having the right answers. So a lot of the time that I spent in this self-dialogue and in searching, I ended up at Pacifica Graduate Institute where I got my doctorate in mythology. And mind you, people would say to me, so what are you going to do with a degree in mythology, for heaven's sake? You just be an overeducated storyteller. And I heard that so much, and I said, you know, I think what I'm going to do and be is I'm going to become whatever it is that I'm needing to become in this journey of self-discovery. So that's a little bit of an overview of what has happened to me. There's not, I can go into specifics, but I think we all have this larger overview of life where we've been taken to places we didn't know we were going to go and experience so much insights that we didn't know were going to be part of the journey. And I feel very blessed that even though I have struggled in my life, that I am still standing up and feeling good about what this life has to offer me.
Good. A lot of people are having a very hard time, especially in today's world, with so many different things going on. And I think, you know, not just women, I think men also are suffering a great deal too. But it just keeps going on, and people go, but, you know, I'm trying, I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and what can I do to try to help myself? So do you have any suggestions that, you know, maybe not just women, but everybody could use?
I sure do, and this is something that comes just from my own personal journey. I was born with a huge ego, and not that anybody else can identify with that. But what I found is that I needed to have answers that I figured, well, I would write my goals, I'd have my dreams, and everything just unfolded. And for the most part, that worked. And then all of a sudden, something has changed in my life as I've reached a more mature point. And what I'm finding is that the key point that I am being asked to do, which seems the most difficult, is to surrender. It's to surrender to the fact that I don't have all the answers that apply to this new awareness that I'm having. I have answers that I can put up on the chalkboard and say, well, this is what I need to do here, and this is what I'm going to do there, and this is my intention here. And I bump my head against the wall because I miss the opening. I miss the doorway that takes me outside of the old paradigm that I'm still trying to loosen myself from. So I think pain comes from not surrendering to something that wants more from us than what we've been used to doing. And this is a hard one, Nancy. It is so hard for us to say, well, wait a minute. If I release control over my life, what's going to happen to me?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if we don't release that we will suffer more and we will have more pain. And again, I can't say that this is an easy thing for all of us to do, but I'm saying that I think that's pointing us to the answer that we're all seeking within ourselves, and that is this unification of ourselves with the larger whole of humanity, where we're not separate but together. And when we're together, then things flow. We aren't having to have the irritants in our lives so much as having the friendships and having relationships that work.
Mm-hmm. I think people have a hard time with trust also today. And so to let somebody be your real friend, it's like, well, I'd kind of like you to be my friend. However, you know, I have to keep my walls up. I have to keep, you know, some caution going on because, after all, you know, people are just, you know, hurting me left and right. So is there a way for, again, not just women, but mostly women? Because women usually, I would think, tend to suffer more from that than a guy does, because a guy usually shuts everything down real quick. You know, no offense, guys, but you do. You know, but a woman, you know, their emotions are like their things that really, really basically set them apart. So women, I think, are very, you know, very cautious with, you know, can I trust this person or can I trust that person? So is there anything that you can suggest for that part of a woman where that maybe she can start not only do the surrender, but also do the trust?
I think what's important for each one of us is to go within and say, okay, if I can't trust the other person, then how can I trust my true feelings about who I am within myself? And I think if we're going to be, and for me and the discoveries that I've made in the study of alchemy, is really this oneness that even though we have someone that irritates the heck out of us and that puts doubt in our mind as far as relationship and wanting to have that barrier and not being open and vulnerable, then that puts a barrier within ourselves as far as how we can dialogue with whoever comes into the picture and say, I understand that I may not agree with you and you may not agree with me. But part of that disagreement is where we learn. The common ground that comes in not trusting someone else, but being still vulnerable and open and willing to listen, is that's when we are stepping out of our ego and saying, well, maybe I don't need to look at her or him through just my lens of understanding. Maybe I can step aside if for a moment and allow that dialogue to happen where I don't have to be conditioning it or judging what it is, but coming in, and this sounds rather simple but very profound, coming from a space of love that can overcome these questions of can I trust that other person? Because, again, what's the worst thing that can happen if you trust the moment to reveal what it is that you're needing to learn from that connection? And I find that when I'm in the least comfort, when I have the least comfort around someone, it's because they are reflecting something for me that I need to see about myself. And I think that's where the gift is, that if we step aside and say, boy, I don't want to have anything to do with them. They irritate me, and I don't like the way I feel around them. So, you know, I don't want to be open to that, that we miss the opportunity to connect with something soulfully that wants our attention.
Again, I agree with everything you're saying. People talk about ego a lot. I'm not sure the normal, everyday person understands what ego is. We're back, everybody. We do have a caller. So, caller, can I have your name? Hello?
Hello?
Caller, can I have your name?
Yes, my name is Elaine.
And Elaine, do you have a question?
Yes, I'd like to know if you could connect me to my mother.
Here's the thing, Elaine. Tonight we're talking about women and how they can kind of help themselves and get out of their way better. In about 2 weeks, I'm going to be doing the connection stuff. If you can hold off until then, that would be great.
Okay. And what is it you're discussing now?
We're talking about women and how they can help themselves, you know, get out of the ho-humdrum basic stuff and start to be all they can be.
Okay. And do you have a website?
Yes. Do I have a website?
Yes.
It's www.nancys, N-A-N-C-Y-S, psychicresources.com.
NancysPsychicResources.com.
Right. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye now. Sorry, Dr. Ramona. Anyway,
no,
what my question was starting to lead to is I don't think people understand when we say step out of your ego. I don't know if they relate to that or can understand that. So is there a way that you can explain it to help people understand? Because before you can step out of it, you got to know what it is.
Exactly. And I think ego has a lot of masks. But I think that the main mask that it carries is illusion. It's when we think we have the answers to things. It's when the I in the individual runs the whole show, and we're not able to discern what truth is for us because we're so caught up in what we feel we want, what we desire, who's hurting us. So it's a part of us that's always got that eye out for what's in it for me. And I can't give you what it looks like for everyone because we each bring our own ego to any relationship or any situation. But when you start to feel uncomfortable about where you are in that moment, that someone is hurting you or potentially hurting you, or that someone has slighted you, or that something is not to your best interest, I tell you that that's where the ego is acting. And so that's about the clearest as I can be, that when you're feeling a very intense discomfort in something that you're not liking, and it's not because it's not good for you, it's just because you can't see that it's good for you, then mm-hmm. I'm saying that, well, what I call that is we're in a state of negretto, that state in alchemy where everything is so dark and ominous that you can't get a clear picture of what is the issue at hand, because it's clouded by your opinions, your ideas of what is right for you. And it's nothing, I mean, I'm not saying that there's nothing wrong with the ego. It's when the ego is unchecked. It's when our attitudes, behaviors, ideas, and values go unchecked to the harm not only of ourselves but everyone around us, that we need to see what's active in my personality right now that's making me do these things or feel this way.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Ramona, can you tell everyone the name of your book again, please?
Absolutely. It's called The Alchemical Woman, A Handbook for Everyday Soul Work.
Where can they get it at?
They can go to my site at either RamonaRubio.com or TheAlchemicalWoman.com.
Okay. Now, there are stages, because you talk about this, so can you explain to the listeners what the stages are and how they reflect on, you know, we're talking mostly about women, but how they reflect on a white, you know, a woman's life journey?
Okay, and I just want just a couple of things to make clear, because it is true. We focused the book on the alchemical woman. Our work had been very much into that, the idea of the mature woman. However, I will say to all your listeners that if you're breathing, you're walking, and you're talking, or you are alive, you are experiencing the alchemical journey. And we begin our journey from the first breath we take until the last breath we take, and I'm suspecting even beyond that. But for now, it's the birth and the death in this lifetime where we are trekking each day through these alchemical stages. And the alchemical stages are not a step-by-step 1, 2, 3 solution to enlightenment. They are a grand scheme of life experiences. So, for instance, we have the 5 stages that we really have detected as we read deeply into the manuscripts of the ancient alchemists. So you've got, and I'll just mention these, and it's until you get used to it, some of these names sound a little odd. They're based in antiquity, back dating to Alexandria, Egypt, 200 AD. So we're talking really old here. So we have the first stage that I'll explain. And again, these are not in order other than just the way we're presenting them. The first stage is what we call the negretto. And the negretto is that dark space, that blackness in life, where we experience loss, we experience the depths of pain, and we are stuck where we don't even have emotion. And this is the hardest place to be, because what happens there is that change is asking us to pay attention in our lives, that we are asked to look in the mirror of truth and see what is the matter in our lives and what do we have to do to move outside of that. It's more complex than that, but that's just a quick little overview to give you an idea. The next step or the next stage is the what we call the lapis stage, and that is blueness. That's where we are baptized anew into a new awakening out of that blackness that we were stuck in. So it's ascending out of the blackness, out of that cave, where a transition starts to occur and a ray of hope and lots of emotions start to bubble up for us in our lives. The next step is what we, a very common step in alchemy, is called albedo, and that means whiteness. And whiteness is where you are now completely washed from the inconsistencies in your life. You're getting your life's purpose together. You're in the realm of angels, if you will, where your life's calling starts to pronounce itself in your life. The next step after that, or the next stage after that, is called citrinitas. And citrinitas, like the citrine, is the yellowness of life. That is where I like to say copulation and sex and relationships and dancing and all of the smells of nature and life are. This is where you accept the fact that you're in this human experience and you are fully embracing what it is to be human in all of its aspects. Children that are playing in the mud, and babies that have dirty diapers and upset stomachs. And if that is the basics of life, that's called the citrinitas. And then in alchemy, the ultimate, where you really have it all together, as they say, is called the rubedo. And the rubedo is the redness of life. And the redness is the life force that is so present within you that what you are in the inside is totally reflected on what is on the outside. It's when you're the masculine of you and the feminine of you is totally married to each other. So they call that the conjunctio in alchemy. That's when you are whole and you see life with that passion and that purpose that you know you're fulfilling something of the highest order. Now, Nancy, just to give you a key in all of this, that any one of these stages, though some feel so heavy and so dark and some feel so elated and so
okay.
Can you hear me any better now?
That's much better.
Okay,
thank you.
I'm sorry in case I was fading. But in that, the idea of these stages is that it doesn't matter what stage you're in this. This is a life journey, and you can wake up in the morning and be in the stage of albedo where the angels are singing to you, and you know that you're walking in this realm of awareness. And then something can happen to you so dramatically that you get a phone call, and you have lost a dear one, or a tragedy has occurred, or you just listen to the news. And it just tosses you into this turmoil, and you're stuck in the negretto. So, Nancy, it's a dynamic process that we each individually, regardless of if we're men or women, bring to this journey and experience it full on every single day of our lives.
So, from what I'm understanding, it's like a back-and-forth stage, basically.
Yes. Though I describe it in sequence, it is a dynamic, spiraling force experience that we are in. And I think the good news for me anyway, and hopefully for your audience, is that we can fully embrace this and fully understand that we do not have to judge ourselves for where we are. Oh, my God, I'm not in the rubido. Something's wrong with me. No, we can be in all these stages, and that's the good news. However, we don't have to beat ourselves up because we're not in any one stage that we feel we deserve. We only are in the stage that is wanting our attention and that's wanting us to grow into, to be able to transform our lives.
Mm-hmm. You call it a metaphorical process. Can you explain that?
I sure can. Sometimes what happens, especially in something as ancient as alchemy, the idea that these alchemists were trying to make gold out of base matter is very well known. That was the overview of the literal translation of what the alchemists were doing. But if we look behind the scenes, what they were really doing was more what we call a metaphor, or something that is instead of or looks like a process that involved their own inner spiritual journey, their own wholeness, to become connected with that one. So what we took, and this is based on Carl Jung, the very well-known depth psychologist, what he discovered, as well as we are amplifying, is that it isn't something that you need to look at literally, but more metaphorically. In other words, standing for something else, as a, like when we use an idea for something, the clouds remind me of a pillow that I sleep on, which is a kind of a simple metaphor. But this, the alchemy that the alchemists were doing was really not literally just changing base metal into gold, but changing their basest experience into golden opportunities. And that's the metaphor that we're dealing with.
Okay. Also in your book, there are things that you call keystones. Can you explain that to the people?
They're practical. Keystones are practical formulas for discovering each individual stage. And, for instance, in the stage of Negretto, we like to say that they're practical formulas for digging into the Negretto stage. And what they are is that they give you hints and ideas of how to work within these stages. For instance, let's say that you are experiencing a divorce in your life where you are feeling that the whole world has abandoned you and you are totally isolated in your emotions, and even lack of emotions, you're just so still and dark that you just feel stuck in this cave. And so what we say to a woman or a man that is experiencing this is to give it a name. What is it that is you're feeling? So it's to be courageous and name the thing that has you in its clutches. And it's just like anything else, that when we fear the dark, that if we give it a name that we can then identify, it eases up our fears to such a degree that we're able to listen and get the message that's embedded in that fear, and then start to release ourselves from being stuck in that point. So there are key points that give us opportunities to step outside of our fears and our pain and be able to move through whatever stage it is. So, as I said, in the Negretto, it's really about touching the mirror of recognition to acknowledge, number one, we're in there. Let's not deny it. Let's not run away from it. Let's just be there as fully present as we can be, even though it's painful, even though we're being asked to be in a very uncomfortable place. But I tell you, if you wander or if you stay long enough in this stage particularly, that the gift that comes from the insights that we get will propel us into a much more expanded way of living our lives.
I think it's really important that when people have some sort of fear or something going on, that they do move through it by being in it, like you're saying, and understand why they're there, and then keep going through it, because until they get through it, it's going to keep resurfacing over and over again.
You bet, and that's the thing. We talk about the shadow in psychology, and the shadow is that if you don't look at what's behind your motives for when you do things, or what is the underlying value that you carry with you, even if you aren't even aware, but it's activating in such a way that you're doing things that are not healthy for you, that if you keep denying that you're doing this and blaming others, then that thing that is motivating you is going to get bigger and more inflated and bigger until one day you face it head on and it's you.
Which, again, I think is so important. There's a lot of people out there that decide that they want to take drugs instead of really facing through things. Is there any kind of suggestions that you can also make for these people who want to, I call it, want to be numb, you know, so they don't have to make choices? You know, they'll take the drugs instead, you know, and then that way they're not thinking right. If they're not thinking right, they don't think they're feeling it, but they are.
Exactly. It's like you put a barrier around you to think that you're not really in any experience because you're anesthetized, you're numb from what life is giving you. And I think we see this, the people that do this are what we call stuck in the dark side of the citronitas. That's that yellowness of life that's so full of the juiciness of life. But the dark side of that is addiction. It's denial and addiction, and it is this disembodiment, if you will, of the emotion of self to the world. And when that happens, we see it so much in celebrity. We see it in Hollywood. We see it in politics. We see it in religious orders that get so caught up in the stories that are circulating about how their greatness is that they dissociate from the fact they're just human beings in a stage of opportunity to express their talents, but they forget that that's what it is, and they start to believe all of the inflated stories to such a degree that they lose their humanity in the process. And part of losing that is by taking drugs and calming what the inside is saying to pay attention to. So I don't have a solution for this because I'm on my own journey and I have solutions that I'm working on for myself. But what I would suggest to those that have that, either in their life in the present moment or know a loved one that they're dealing with, is that don't give up on them and don't give up on yourself. That know that this is part of an experience that is needing your attention right now, and how we deal with it is such a personal way that I would suggest, first off, is to get as much help as possible. The indication usually is people will separate themselves from those that can help them. So I would say if you can be those of you that can help to be there, not as an enabler, but as a friend as people go through this, and speak as much truth as you can to let them know, one, that you care, and two, that they have to do something about where they are or they will perish. And that's the alternative.
Yeah, I don't think there's another alternative, to be honest with you. Now, you talk about the ancient tradition of alchemy and how it relates, but more importantly, how it relates to the contemporary woman.
All right, I'd love to. One of the things that drew me to alchemy was in the study of mythology. It had to do with the soul stories of cultures and how alchemy, especially the Western alchemists who all point to Alexandria, Egypt, and specifically Maria Hebraea, who was one of the premier and very few of the women that were predominantly involved in the world of alchemy, and to the degree that some of her apparatuses that she used in her lab are still used in chemistry, which very few people know. And this to me gave me such a wonderful feeling to know that someone of that caliber was so honored at that time, and still her ideas of the spiritual wholeness and this idea of the gold within is still very much a part of the chemistry lab, if you will. And so as we uncovered this, we realized that contemporary woman and men, I'll say, but contemporary woman needed a gift from the ancient ones, that these people who sacrificed so much to in their search for their gold within, that it was so apropos for today's contemporary woman. We, as you said earlier, are the ones that we create relationships. We step outside of ourselves and want to give. We're more givers than receivers for the most part. And so as we give, if we can have something that's given to us, like a system of alchemy that is so embedded in a tremendous, powerful force that dates not only to Alexandria, but even the myths say even beyond to Atlantis, and where these amazing formulas were brought forth for humanity to experience their awakening. And so for me to be a catalyst and a carrier through my studies, what did I know I was going to do that, but as a funnel for this to come through today and in a very non-complicated little book that is still filled with that amazing alchemical energy that was present at the very first alchemists started to work with the formulas. And so I felt, as well as my co-author felt, Dr. Catherine Davidson felt, that if we could harness this alchemical power in a way that could unfold for a contemporary woman to use as a process in their alchemical transformation, then this was absolutely just compelled us to do this and to focus our attention. And it's not easy, Nancy, because it's a very complex and bizarre world of images that we had to do a lot of deciphering to be able to bring it to today's woman.
Do you think, Dr. Ramona, that, let's say today's woman, and we go backwards until yesterday's woman, okay? They have constantly done a struggle, whether it be with emotions, fighting for their rights, or being the person that they need to be. Because throughout history, we have been kind of taught to believe that it's a man's world, that, you know, we have to cater to them, which is part of the suffering, I think, that a lot of women continue to go through. And they need to find a way to balance that out. But if they don't understand, you know, that they're, like your book, is ways to help them do that, and trusting themselves, because one of the questions I asked you earlier was about women in general with, you know, their trust issues. I'm a very firm believer that if they can trust themselves better, then they actually have better judgment calls with everything else. But women have always, I shouldn't say, mostly, we'll put it that way, mostly been taught to think that they are, you know, beneath the male species throughout life. And for contemporary women who really don't believe like that and probably never have, like myself, sometimes it's very hard because we are thought to be really hard, you know, hard people and, you know it alls and stuff like that. And in reality, that's not really true. It's that we do have a right. But I don't think women understand I don't think the majority of women understand that they do have their right. Do you have a comment about that?
Well, I can speak to it through my own personal journey. I was raised in a barrio, and for those of you that don't know what a barrio is, it's a very contained, small community, usually of Latino or Mexican origin, where in our culture, though the woman was very much the homemaker and created that type of an environment, the male was very predominant, and a separation was definitely there. The women ate in the kitchen, and the men ate in the living room. Sometimes they were together, and this is in the older times.
Mm-hmm.
So I understood that, and fortunately for me, my mother and my father were not the traditional Mexican people that had that separation. They were very inclusive, and I was an only child, so they gave me voice, and they gave me the space to speak out. Well, that's a good thing, but that can be a bad thing. And the good thing was that I felt that I could express my ideas and my thoughts very much like what I'm doing today.
Mm-hmm.
But the downside of it was that I was not of the norm in our culture. So what happened, obviously, is that I was censored a lot in the community. But nonetheless, something within me said that I had, like you're talking about, I had that right to be. And so what I tell women who are listening, that each one of us has a right to be. And what that means is that we have that potential that is within us, that soul's code, if you will, that can bubble up and embrace us if we start to give it space in our lives to know that that is our birthright. And we don't have to deny anyone else's that same birthright. And I think what happens is because we have so much power as a woman, we have it within us. And as we start to get that inkling of our greatness, it kind of scares us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we start to cover that up, lest we really start to be brilliant and everyone see us. And I think, too, on the other side is that, unfortunately, men have not figured out that they need to embrace that power within not only themselves, the woman within them, but the women that are in their cultures to such a degree that we work hand in hand and side by side, and that we're not constantly on a hierarchy of who is the stronger, who's the better, who's got more to offer in this world. So much of what's been written is, of course, written by men.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just where we've come from. But I would liken it to you that that's the old paradigm. And under the new paradigm that we're being asked to live into is that we are all in it together, regardless of our our socioeconomics, values, sex, religions, all of that, that all is going to shift to be all-embracing and all-encompassing so that women will know and will claim that their greatness within and be able to express the fullness of what their intention and their intent and their purpose is at this particular time in their lives.
Do you think that it would be good to start much younger than just at women, say, today, but like, say, younger, like, you know, children age, say, maybe 8 or 9 or 10, start back there rather than try to change the way our history has been all the way to now and then have women who are here now who have been taught to believe all these things all of a sudden turn it all around?
I think that's a beautiful vision, and I would love to see that. In fact, one of the ideas we have is to do some follow-up books on the alchemical child, the alchemical teenager, the alchemical man, and on, because then we can start to focus what that would look like, that unfoldment of the young one. And I think for those of us that are in our elder, and I don't mean old, but as elders in a society that have lived, as I said at the beginning, the challenges of life and still are standing up and smiling, that somehow we don't need to be teachers or lecturers to the young ones about how to live our lives, but more, I would say, examples. And so I would say to how we could possibly engage the young children, and I have two grandbabies, and I had been the owner of a cafe that catered to young children. It was a hub for family activities. And what we did there a lot was engage the families, and specifically the children, in empowerment and in feeling, because they have this natural ability to feel that they're great. It's that when we start to give them the values of the old way of, you know, who's on top, who's on the bottom, who should do this, who should do that, we disempower them so that they start to walk in alignment with what we feel or what the larger culture feels is what they have to do in order to survive in the value system that we've created for us. So I would say it would be a beautiful gift to be able to embrace the young ones in this kind of knowing.
I ask because I have a nonprofit organization called the Child's Miracle Mind. And it has a leg to it called the School of Now. And in that School of Now, it's a school where they're going to learn everything that they need to learn, but with all the metaphysical knowledge, ancient wisdom, and all the techniques that we have so far overlooked, so that these children who are here and very, very intelligent and have that knowing can actually open up and be all they can be, because they cannot do it in the school systems today.
Oh, that's beautiful, Nancy. I think that is such a needed calling, and if we could only imagine what it would be like to have a area of learning or a place of learning that embraces the ancient traditions, the mystery schools, if you will, that have the information is still available, that embraces this oneness of all, that cuts through this hierarchy of who's better and who's less, and just absolutely puts that out of the door and out of our consciousness, and brings in a new consciousness that allows us to have the children understand a whole way of being that embraces that unification idea that isn't separating but is including all of us. That's beautiful.
Yeah, and I have all my 501c3, all those standings and the status and all that stuff. But there are a lot of people who, without a doubt, don't want to hear about it because they like things exactly the way it is, which I don't. Never have.
All right.
And I've been the rebel. So, you know, and I have a granddaughter who doesn't either, and that's really why I put it all together, because she's not like the typical everyday little girl, you know, who's shy and is afraid to do anything. You know, it's like she's afraid of nothing, and she gets into a lot of trouble because of that. But wouldn't want her any other way. But nevertheless, in the regular school system, these kind of children are really not getting the benefit of all they know, because they're being told that they can't focus, they're out of control, they need some kind of, you know, stuff
medication
to be put on, and they have chemical imbalances, and I just get really sick of listening to all that stuff, you know. And I think that if we can reach the children like what I'm trying to do, that we could then see the world change. But, you know, starting with the adults is a start, but it's not going to be the finish, because it's the children who are going to keep repeating the cycles that have been given to them all the time, unless they're rebels like you and rebels like me. Okay, so they're out there, but
yes,
they need a little help in the process.
Exactly, and I think that's a really beautiful calling, because if we can, the old adage, if we can build the space for this kind of dialogue, this kind of learning, then the children will come, and they will come because they hear, their parents hear it, or they understand, they resonate with that this is where they need to be as an alternative way to the typical type of, and I went to the typical schools, and I never fit in because they were teaching things that to me held us back from our greatness.
Oh, yeah. all the time.
So I fully support you in what you're trying to do, because I think not only we all come in to this world with so much possibilities. This, the idea that we have this calling within each one of us, this diamond, if you will, that James Hillman, the well-known psychologist, calls the diamond within, that we each come with that. And what happens is it never gets polished. The diamond just stays stuck in our soul. And the children, if they're fortunate, they'll have parents or they'll have mentors that see that diamond within them, and they'll start to be nurtured in that. And I think that's what you're doing. That's what your direction is, Nancy, is to polish that diamond within each child so that they can shine and be all that they can be and in relationship with each other.
Yeah, because, I mean, kids come here with the best sense of love, no thing about what color you are, what race you are, what religion you are. They don't come here with that. And what we have done is, you know, push that into them, and I'd really like to have that not pushed into them. You know, so a lot of the old ancient wisdom that we have, you know, like, you know, with the Archimedes people, they have it. You know, how many people really look into it to bring something forth now, like you have done and your co-author has done, to get people to understand that this has kind of been going on for eons, and yet we still are in the dark about it.
I know it, and I really suspect that there is a major, and I like to use the word recalibration, that is happening to a lot of us, like it or not. And I also sense that this is not planetary. I sense it's cosmic with a K. Mm-hmm. The huge cosmos is awakening to itself anew. And when that starts to happen, all of its components, all of its parts, will start to move in a way that brings that into fruition. Now, when that happens, and how it happens, is part of the mystery, if you will, that will unfold for us. And I think as the indigenous people that were here at the beginning of time did not understand the complexities of what we understand now through technology and everything else that we now have grown into, where we are right now in our experiences and even in our intelligence and education, and we think we've got it, that too will pass into something even unimaginable right now. We are getting glimpses of where we're going, and we have certain ones that are coming up for certain people that are being born and showing inklings of what that's going to be like. But I kind of kid around and say that one day we're all going to wake up and we're all going to be able to fly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, and I don't mean that, you know, I'm not literal with that, but maybe, who knows? I'm not putting any kind of barrier or conditions on what this is going to look like. But I do know that we are being recalibrated. I know personally that who I was last week is not who I am today because of the awarenesses that are absolutely just blasting and just coming in faster than I can even breathe into it. But I'm just overwhelmed in a way, but elated that I am awake to what is happening to me.
Mm-hmm. And I really think a lot of people are starting to wake up, and I think it's very hard because they're not used to this kind of awakening because they've been kind of like lazy for a long time. And I think that they're not going to have that opportunity to be lazy and continue to stay in this world. I think it's going to have to be a change, or they're going to go wherever they need to go. You know, and I think it's coming, and I don't see any way to stop it, nor would I want it stopped, because we definitely need a change here, without a doubt, okay?
Right.
You know, but, and it is going to come. And so, you know, a lot of adults are starting to get it, but in their mind somehow they're thinking that they're a little late, so now what are they going to do with it? And my thought is that if you are getting it, then you pass it on. You know, you don't sit there and think, well, now what do I get to do with it? You just pass it on.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, I'm suspecting, too, Nancy, that somewhere in this realm of being, that there is the parallel dimensions, that what the bleep kind of indicated, mm-hmm. the movie What the Bleep,
right.
that there are these parallel universes or parallel levels of consciousness that really don't resonate together. And so I'm not sure how that will unfold as we start to elevate our frequency in understanding what this cosmic impulse is asking of us. I don't know how it will manifest that we'll all be living here together, but we will not necessarily be resonating in understanding and in the way that we perceive the reality in the same way. And I'm too little, I'm too small in my own concepts to embrace what that might look like. All I'm getting is hints of it, that there is something big happening, and this recalibration is going to take place to those that choose to accept that recalibration.
Right. Yeah, and I don't think it's the chosen few. I think it's exactly what you just said. It's those who are willing to accept it.
Yes, yes.
And that would be a good thing. Could you give out the name of your book again, the websites that they can get it at, please?
I'd love to. Thank you. It's The Alchemical Woman, A Handbook for Everyday Soul Work. And they can go to my site at www.RamonaRubio.com. They can just use that one. And they can go ahead and also opt in for our Alchemist Way messages that we send out. We'd love to do that. And any future gatherings that we have, we'd love to be able to embrace your community as well.
Do you go out and do lectures?
Yes, I do. And I'm starting to do more as I'm being called to do. And, Nancy, this is something that also is very new in the way that I'm doing business. In my past, I had a very successful business in interior design and I've been a professor and all that. This is asking me to do things differently. So as I am open to the call, I will do, if it's gatherings, if it's retreats, I don't even want to put a name on it because I'm not sure what it's supposed to be called. But
you will.
It will be gatherings of people that are in love with the process of transformation.
Yeah, and again, I think there will be more of those people coming into Plainview very soon because I don't think they're going to have a choice. It's like you're going
right.
to have to make the move or just, you know, be gone. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, it really isn't. So one more time, give out the name of your book and the way they can get it.
Oh, thank you. It's The Alchemical Woman, A Handbook for Everyday Soul Work. And you can go to our site at www.RamonaRubio.com. Or, by the way, you can go to Amazon.com, and your local bookstore should have it available probably within the next week or so. We are going to be in a larger distribution system, so they can get it at their local bookstore, but that would be probably another week or so.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Now, on the website, does it talk about the different, you know, like the different gatherings, as you call it, that might be coming up?
Not yet, but they do have a place where they can contact us to find out further information about them.
Okay. Now, if you go out and do a gathering, are you going to also have your co-author with you?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Will your co-author be with you?
And sometimes, and sometimes not. We don't live in the same city or even the same state. So a lot of times we will do things together. We're going to be doing a workshop in her area in Northern California. So at other times I may be doing my own presentation. So it's pretty fluid. Again, Nancy, we are going with this as it unfolds for us because I have learned that the more that I try to plan this, the more that I hit myself against the wall. This is entirely new paradigm on how you do business.
Yeah, which is, again, pretty important. I'm also putting together a documentary film.
Okay.
And the documentary film is about how the baby boomers are treated versus how they treat kids of today for the ADD, ADHD.
Ooh, excellent.
And so what I'm thinking is when I come out to California, because I'm hoping to get everything I need and come out to California or wherever you're at.
I'm in Ashland, Oregon.
Okay. Well, that'd be okay, too. I haven't been there yet.
It's a lovely place, home of the Shakespeare Festival. It's beautiful.
Cool. Maybe I can come out there and we'll do an interview for the documentary, because you do have a lot of great ideas, and I think the more we can get out to the public, the better it will be.
I would love that. Yes, let's talk some more, because that would be a wonderful collaboration on ideas. I love that. I love your idea for the children. That really resonates with me.
Yeah, it actually resonates with many people, but again, it's kind of hard, because a lot of people go, well, what makes you think you can do it? And it's like, I don't know, but I am.
Well, and you know, that's a very self-defeating question. I'd say, of course you can do it.
Yeah. No, that's what people say to me. What makes you think you can, Nancy? And it's
exactly.
Like, I can. It's just, I'm going to. It's that simple.
Absolutely.
Anyway, it has been a pleasure having you on the show. We have just about a minute left, so could you one more time give out the name of your book and where they can get it?
Yes, I will. It's The Alchemical Woman, A Handbook for Everyday Soul Work, available on our website at www.ramonarubio.com, or you can go to amazon.com and order it from there as well.
Now, would it be better for men to read it too?
I like to say that this book is for every woman and every woman's man.
Okay.
And that is all embracing, because it can be translated to the stages are definitely for everyone. The stories we have are geared towards women, but the next book that we come out with for men will be pulling in those beautiful stories that men have to share in their life journey.
All right, great. We look forward to that, too.
All right.
It's been wonderful having you on the program with me. Thank you very much for taking the time.
Well, I love that. Blessings to you, Nancy, as you do your wonderful work.
And you, too. Best of luck with all, and we will talk soon. Don't worry.
We sure will.
All
thank
right,
you take so
care.
Much.
You're very welcome. I'd like to thank you, the listeners. May God bless all of you. Have a great week, and we'll talk again soon. Take care. Bye now.